Hello and welcome to Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, December the 20th. I am John, and your other readers are Josephine, Kevin and Nicola. The editor this week is also John, and we are all members of Team 5. This week's sponsor is Boom Construction. They are a specialist contractor and pride themselves on their innovative project solutions and proactive approach to building and maintaining long-lasting relationships. Telephone 767-760. And the website is www.boomconstruction.co.uk. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel, Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines are 4,000 home development for Hemel submitted to planners. Footpath marks setback for gate restoration project. Cyclist dies after collision. Police appeal for witnesses. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Josephine. Huge homes plan. Plans have been submitted for a 4,000 home development east of Hemel Hempstead. Set across 975 acres and provisionally named East Hemel, the development will deliver homes with a mix of ownership types, including affordable homes, alongside health and community facilities, up to four new schools, new transport links, and green spaces that support the natural environment, including a new 63-hectare country park. Applicant, the Crown Estate, delivered the proposal to St Albans and District Council and Decorum Borough Council following more than a year of community engagement. East Hemel forms a key part of the new Hemel Garden Communities HGC programme, a long-term commitment to transform the town through the delivery of up to 11,000 new homes and thousands of new jobs by 2050. Head of Strategic Land at the Crown Estate, Rob Chesworth, said, "East Hemel marks a rare opportunity to create a space that will serve the people of Hertfordshire for generations to come. Over the past 18 months, we've been encouraged and sustained by the enthusiasm of residents, stakeholders, and our partners who have helped to shape this vision. Two distinct neighbourhoods will be supported by new schools, health and community facilities, with nature and greenery at the core of the vision. More than a third of East Hemel area will be a new publicly accessible open space, including a new 63-hectare country park in the north and a valley park in the south, creating new wildlife habitats as well as spaces for people to reconnect with nature. East Hemel will also deliver up to 1.8 million square feet of employment space, including an innovation hub in the centre of the site, which is hoped to create thousands of new jobs. New sustainable transport links will also run throughout the area, encouraging people to walk, cycle, and use public transport. According to the developer, the vision for East Hemel has been shaped by the community following a collaborative engagement programme over the past 18 months. Nearly 1,400 people have attended engagement events, which included site visits, study tours and design workshops, as well as stakeholder sessions, school engagement and public drop-ins. The Crown Estate received hundreds of pieces of feedback, all of which are said to have been considered by the project team and fed into the design process. The outline application will agree the principle of development and fix certain parameters of the proposals, including the scale of development and locations of different uses across the site. A public consultation period will run until January 29th. To view the full application, search 5/2025/1964 at St Albans City and District Council's planning portal. For more information on East Hemel and further details on the engagement process, visit www.easthemel.co.uk.
Hello, this is Kevin. Season's greetings. Gaybridge Park Path Blues. Decorum Borough Council has closed a new path built as part of the makeover of a popular Hemel Hempstead Park after criticism that it was not fit for purpose. The path in Gaybridge Park was created as part of its wider River Gade restoration project. Residents raised the alarm regarding the path late last month when heavy rainfall damaged the surface. Hemel Hempstead resident Dan Stobbs contacted local councillors after struggling to walk through the park, despite, in his words, moving slowly and carefully through the area. He also told the Hemel Hempstead Gazette that he witnessed a couple slipping while trying to navigate the new path. As a precautionary measure, the path has now been closed off, and Decorum Borough Council said it is carrying out an investigation into what is affecting the surface and is looking to improve the drainage in the area. Residents have expressed frustration and dismay with the new path on social media. One said, "What the hell do they use Play-Doh?" in reference to the mushy surface, while another commented that it looked more like quicksand than a public footway. A spokesperson for the council told the Gazette that the problems were in part due to the river settling into its new course, which is affecting the ground and surface water. They added the material for the path was chosen to be as natural as possible to avoid pollutants entering the new river and to be in keeping with the path. Earlier this year, Decorum Borough Council celebrated the completion of the rerouting of the stream as a landmark moment for Hertfordshire. The stream from the River Gaybridge Park was rerouted back to its natural course after the Council and Environment Agency, two bridges, were also constructed as part of the project, and planting schemes and wildflower areas were also greenlit by the council around the rare chalk stream environment. Hemel resident Stobbs said, "I genuinely don't understand how this was signed off. All the existing paths in the park are tarmac, yet this new one sits on a low-lying, regularly flooded ground and has been constructed using self-binding gravel, which appears completely unsuitable for the location." In a statement, Decorum Borough Council said, "The new path in Gaybridge Park was installed as part of the wider River Gade Restoration Project, a very important nature recovery project. Chalk rivers are an internationally rare habitat, and this project was a great opportunity to improve the park for visitors and residents."
Hello, this is Nicola. Fatal crash. Police are renewing an appeal for witnesses' information and dashcam footage after a man died following an accident near Hemel Hempstead. The crash occurred in Gadstone Row at around 9:30 on December the 5th. A cyclist was travelling from Jockey End towards Hemel Hempstead when he was involved in a collision with a white Kia Sorento. The cyclist, who sustained serious injuries, was taken to hospital where he subsequently died. Detective Sergeant Ben Heath from a Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Serious Collision Investigation Unit said investigations are continuing to establish the circumstances around the collision. "As part of our inquiries, we're appealing for anyone with information to please come forward. Did you witness the collision or see the pedal cycle or the vehicle in the area around the time? We're particularly keen to hear from anyone who may have captured dash cam footage. Witnesses can also report information online at hearts.police.uk/report. Speak to an operator via online web chat at hearts.police.uk/contact or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting Operation Marble. A man was arrested at the scene and has been released on bail whilst inquiries continue."
100 not out. A Hemel Hempstead resident has celebrated his 100th birthday and revealed his tip for enjoying a long life. David Kemp turned 100 on Friday, 5th December, and his family told the Hemel Gazette his secret was positive approach and trying to enjoy every day as it comes. David was born prematurely and christened Christopher because the doctor told his parents that if he lived until Christmas, he would be fine. His family says his love of food started when he was given milk and brandy to build up his strength as a baby. Last Friday, the long-time Watford season ticket holder enjoyed a birthday celebration at the Lodge Care Home in Hemel Hempstead. He was joined by fellow residents and family and friends, as well as former Hornets defender Ian Bolton. David was raised in Kings Langley and left school at 14 and worked a number of jobs locally, including delivering fish and chips, completing shoe repairs, and picking up eggs from a farm. During the Second World War, he worked in a factory, making munitions for the Royal Navy. He was also in the Home Guard and was an ARP messenger. His national service was spent in the Royal Horse Guards, where he was posted to Berlin. His jobs included making sandwiches for the officers and manning the petrol station. David moved on to working in the Ovaltine factory. Eventually, he qualified as a psychiatric nurse at Leavesden Hospital, where he worked until his retirement. He married Eileen in 1955. They have two children, Jenny and Robert, and two grandchildren, Alex and Edward. David and Eileen lived together in the same home in Hemel Hempstead for 67 years. Their families say they had an active role in the community, attending gardening clubs and going to music concerts. Once retired, they travelled far and wide, including Australia and Canada. They moved into the lodge nearly 5 years ago. Last year, Eileen died, but David's family say he remains positive and cheerful. Beyond his love of Watford Football Club, David is a fan of westerns and war films. He also enjoys detective television series and classic comedies like Last of the Summer Wine. He relishes going out with his children to have a look around his old haunts, often ending up at a garden centre to have a nice cup of tea. A petting pony visited the lodge for David's special day. He was joined by family and friends and ex-neighbours, including one who moved to New Zealand. David was also joined by his best friend, who he has known for over 8 decades. The former Watford defender Ian's visit was also greatly appreciated. Residents enjoyed hearing tales of what football was like in the 70s and 80s. The ex-centre-back also hung around for a question and answer session.
Hemel's blockbuster scene. A scene in former James Bond actor Daniel Craig's new Knives Out movie, released in a limited number of cinemas ahead of its launch in Netflix, was shot in Hemel Hempstead. Wake Up Dead Man, the third instalment in Rian Johnson's murder mystery series, includes a scene shot in the Waterstones bookstore in Riverside Shopping Centre. Director Johnson's third Knives Out film will be available to stream on Netflix from December the 12th and sees Craig return as investigator Benoit Blanc. Decorum Borough Council said, "The store was closed for the day, black curtains up and production signs with code name V2 placed around town to prevent any congestion or lost cast and crew." A spokesman for Decorum Borough Council added, "Our filming lead officer coordinated the parking and support areas, including the Marlow Service Road. With everything positioned conveniently close, the production team enjoyed seamless logistics throughout their time in town, with absolute minimal inconvenience to our local businesses and shoppers. Businesses in Decorum can register an interest in being used as a future film location on the Council's website. As with previous two Knives Out films, Wake Up Dead Man contains a stellar ensemble cast, including rising English star Josh O'Connor, multiple-time Academy Award nominee Glenn Close, and Avengers actor Jeremy Renner.
And now, This Week in History. December the 21st, 1945, American war hero General George Old Blood and Guts Patton died as the result of a car crash. On this day last year, Tyson Fury lost his title showdown against Alexandra Usyk by unanimous decision. December the 22nd, 1989, a Romanian revolution overthrew President Ceausescu. Ceausescu's son Nicu was arrested. On this day last year, US actress Blake Lively was supported by It Ends With Us author Colleen Hoover after accusing Justin Baldoni, her co-star in a film of the novel, of sexual harassment in a legal complaint. December the 23rd, 1986, the US plane Voyager completed the first non-stop flight round the world without refueling. December the 24th, 1904, the London Coliseum opened in St Martin's Lane with the first revolving stage in Britain. On this day last year, the number of young people spending Christmas Day alone doubled, according to research that compared festive attitudes and behaviours in 2024 and 1969. According to a study by the Policy Institute at King's College London, 1 in 9 people said they will be spending Christmas Day alone.
Streetlights review. Hertfordshire County Council is to review its street lighting policy after more than 1,000 people backed a residents' petition calling for all lights to be left on at night. For 13 years, most of the county's lights have been switched off between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m, having been dimmed from 9 p.m. Major roads remain lit throughout the night, but their lights are dimmed between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. Hertfordshire resident John Dowdley presented his petition calling for the park night lighting policy to be scrapped at a meeting of the County Council on December the 9th. In response, Hertfordshire County Council agreed to review its policy, assessing the impact on public safety, accessibility and its contribution to carbon dioxide emissions. Dowdley launched his petition in August after the council signalled that 1,293 lights that had remained on during the night were to be switched over to park night lighting. Over an 8-week period, the petition was backed by 1,042 Hearts residents. Dowdley suggested the savings the policy brought to the council were tiny when set against the heightened fear and anxiety it caused. In response to the petition, Executive Members for Highways, Councillor Stephen Giles Medhurst, said that the street lights in question should have been adjusted to park night lighting in 2012, but had been overlooked. He suggested there had been misinformation surrounding the petition, with some signatories believing lights were going to be turned off at 9 p.m, whilst he was not the case anywhere. Nevertheless, after a motion proposed by Giles Medhurst was backed by the council, it was agreed there should now be a review of the policy that would include consultation with others, including the police. The motion said that park night lighting had avoided costs to the council of around £3.6 million a year and cut carbon emissions by around 30% over 14 years, and it noted that, as reported by police, there had been no negative effect on crime rates. The council also said that it acknowledges the concerns of residents regarding safety on Hertfordshire's streets and has developed a modern streetlight system that is flexible to meet needs. It also supports safe, active and sustainable travel such as walking and cycling. The county council actively monitors the system to ensure it works reliably and helps people feel safe when after dark.
Charging points bonanza. A total of 1,500 electric vehicle, EV, Charging points for public use are set to be installed across Hertfordshire next year. The County Council has been awarded more than £6 million in government funding to accelerate the rollout of low power points for drivers without facilities at home. At a meeting of the Council's Environment, Transport and Growth Cabinet panel on Tuesday, councillors heard that they could be installed by three contractors across the county from next year, including more than 570 in Decorum, Hartsmere, Three Rivers and Watford. Councillor Steve Wortley, Conservative for Hoddesdon South, who is an EV driver, urged caution, pointing to a slowdown in the uptake of EVs, and he expressed concern that investment could be made in infrastructure that might be underused, poorly located, or obsolete. But the Executive Member for Environment, Transport and Growth, Councillor Paul Zukowski, Lib Dem Hatfield South, said, "We are delivering the system, and the ongoing economic risk is on the charge point operators for the LEVI scheme. So I don't think the County Council itself is exposed to any of those risks. It is the commercial companies, and they have a decision to make, don't they?" As well as capital funding of £6.015 million from the LEVI programme, the County Council has been awarded a further £1 million capable funding from the Government's Office for Zero Emissions Vehicles, OZEV. According to the report, the contract will require charge point operators to contribute a significant share of investment and to bear ongoing operational costs and risks.
Homes plan approved. Plans for 192 new homes on Greenbelt land on the edge of Abbots Langley have been recommended for approval. The application for the new development at Woodside Road was discussed at a meeting of Three River District Council's Planning Committee. A preliminary report was brought to the committee in September 2025 with a resolution that members would undertake a site visit. Half of the homes would be affordable, with 46 one-bed flats, 30 two-bed flats, 18 two-bed houses, 51 three-bed houses, 40 four-bed houses and 7 five-bed houses. The planning statement referred to the site as part of the Grey Belt, defined as land in the Green Belt that does not strongly contribute to Green Belt purposes. Concerns were raised over access from Woodside Road, the loss of green space and impact on biodiversity, and the pressure on public services, including doctors and schools. However, National Highways withdrew its objections after concluding that the proposed development would not have an unacceptable impact on highway safety or a severe residual cumulative impact on the strategic road network. Harts Highways also withdrew its objections, subject to conditions. A spokesman for builders Taylor Wimpey said, "We are pleased to have received a resolution to grant planning permission for our new development. Our proposals were subject to thorough consultation and all comments from the public and stakeholders were considered. This will be a high-quality, sustainable development that will bring modern new homes as well as green open space and wildlife habitats. We are in the process of entering into a Section 106 agreement with Three Rivers District Council, which will allow us to make financial contributions towards mitigating the impact of the development on existing infrastructure."
Lifesaver Laura. Saving a life is something most of us may never have to do. But when the moment arrived for Laura Anderson, Secretary of Chipperfield Clarendon Cricket Club, she proved to be every inch a hero. What started as an ordinary day at the club quickly became a life or death situation when a player collapsed on the pitch. Laura began cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, reviving him multiple times, when the club's defibrillator failed and a replacement had to be rushed over. She continued CPR until paramedics and an air ambulance arrived. Doctors later said it was her quick thinking and fearless action that saved his life and ensured his full recovery. In recognition of her bravery, Girl Guiding Hertfordshire awarded Laura a Hero Award. A spokesperson from Girl Guiding said, "There is little doubt Laura saved a life that day." Local residents praised her courage and highlighted the importance of learning first aid. One said, "Laura is a true hero, and it's well worth doing courses with St John Ambulance to learn cardiopulmonary resuscitation." For Laura, the recognition is an opportunity to spread a vital message. Learn CPR, know where your defibrillator is, and don't be afraid to act. She also volunteers with St John Ambulance and runs workshops with her Girl Guiding group in Hemel Hempstead to teach young people these life-saving skills. To find out more about CPR, visit https://www.sja.org.uk.
High-end car thefts. Two men have been charged in connection with a series of car thefts reported in Hertfordshire in which more than £500,000 worth of vehicles were stolen. Hertfordshire Constabulary said Aramis Sarkis, aged 29, of Swallow Drive, Northamptonshire, and Ignis Kiskis, aged 36, of Sicily Road, Barking, had been formally charged. Both men are facing multiple charges of conspiracy to steal motor vehicles. Their arrests were linked to a long-running investigation into thefts of high-value vehicles using specialist equipment to bypass keyless vehicle security systems, police said. Thefts of this kind were recorded in Hertfordshire between October and December. Chief Inspector Martin Turpine from Hertfordshire Constabulary Force Intelligence Bureau said vehicle theft, particularly of high-value keyless models, has been a prevalent crime across the county in recent years. This type of crime is often linked to organised crime groups, and using specialist equipment, thieves can steal a vehicle in seconds. We are targeting these gangs, working with our partners in neighbouring forces and using technology to track criminals. Owners can make their vehicles safer by following our advice, such as using an approved steering wheel lock and key fob signal blocking pouch when vehicles are not being used. Hertfordshire Constabulary provides advice on how to protect vehicles from keyless heists on its website.
Green Christmas trees. A Green member of Hertfordshire County Council issued a festive challenge to the authority to come up with a campaign for people to grow their own Christmas trees. With more than 1.2 million residents in the county, tens of thousands of festive firs are being put up in homes this month. But by January, the real trees among them will be thrown into compost heaps or collected by councils and charities as green waste or wood chip. Last Tuesday, Councillor Matt Fisher, Green St Albans Central, highlighted the need not just to deck the halls, but to decarbonise them. He called on the Liberal Democrat Executive's Member for Sustainability, Councillor Adrian England, to encourage residents to opt for a living potted Christmas tree. He said a campaign was needed to encourage people to buy or grow trees that can be nurtured and reused year after year. That would create a living link to past Christmases, as well as support a more frugal, sustainable, meaningful way of celebrating. Mr. England said he supported Mr. Fisher's idea. "Our corporate plan headline is a sustainable, inclusive and thriving Hertfordshire. So I very much like sustainable Christmas trees," he said. "I also like inclusive Christmas trees. And I think the best advice we can give to people is that there is a diversity in Christmas trees. Plastic ones are okay, but you should keep them for 10 years. I support the idea, and I will immediately take it back to the team. After the meeting, Mr. Fisher said he believed the provision of trees would be cost neutral for the council, maybe even saving money for residents and the authority. He said he was encouraged by the response in the chamber.
NHS under pressure. NHS services in Hertfordshire are coming under intense pressure, the Regional Care Board said. The Hertfordshire and West Essex Integrated Care Board, ICB, has recorded a surge in recent flu cases. It is also currently dealing with COVID, winter vomiting bugs, and other respiratory illnesses. The ICB expects flu cases to peak between December 19th and 23rd, and said the number of patients seriously ill with flu in hospital beds across its health region was rapidly increasing, jumping by 55% in the past week. Ambulance crews in the east of England took almost 10,000 patients to hospitals during the last week of November, when NHS 111 took more than 48,000 calls. NHS England figures, published at the start of the winter season, showed that emergency care demand was already running at extremely high levels. A spokesman for the ICB said, "To protect yourself and your family from the misery of avoidable illness and ensure that NHS services are there for those who need them, local NHS leaders are calling on everyone in our area to take these simple steps. Make sure you are up to date with flu, COVID and RSV vaccinations, which are especially important for older people, those with underlying health conditions and pregnant women. If you have sickness and diarrhoea, stay at home, get plenty of rest and drink lots of fluids. Reduce the spread by washing your hands frequently with soap and water. Stay off school or work and stay away from care homes, hospitals and social occasions until you've been clear of symptoms for at least 2 days." Dr. Fiona Head, Medical Director of NHS Hertfordshire and West Essex ICB, added, "Dedicated health and care staff will be working over Christmas and New Year to help everyone who really needs NHS services."
Live facial recognition trials. Hertfordshire Police plan to conduct trials of live facial recognition, LFR, technology in the near future. LFR technology compares a human face captured by a camera against digital images uploaded to a secure watch list. The process is designed to help identify individuals wanted for serious offences and is used alongside strict safeguards to ensure fairness, transparency and privacy, police said. Police will deploy LFR cameras in a van that will be parked at a set location in the County Hertfordshire Constabulary, will push the location and date of any LFR deployment 7 days in advance, in line with national guidelines, it said. Neighbourhood officers will be present during deployment to engage with anyone identified from the watch list, as well as answer the public's questions. A human decision is always made before an individual is approached by officers. The technology just recommends who should be approached and why. Police and Crime Commissioner Jonathan Ash Edwards said he welcomed the decision to trial the technology as a means of catching more criminals, but he understood that some residents may have concerns and urged them and others to complete a survey on the issue available via the PCC website.
Fire service shortcomings. Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service has failed its first engine response target according to its annual statement of reassurance to county councillors. The 2024-25 performance report, which every fire service is required to carry out by law, was presented to councillors at a meeting at Hertfordshire County Council Audit Committee on Thursday, December the 4th. The document showed the service had failed to hit its attendance target, with the first engine response time in 10 minutes falling to 83%, down from 89.6% in 2023-24, The target is 90%. It stated, disappointingly, performance has fallen this last year in comparison with the previous year in three of the four categories, although in two of those performance measures, the performance standards have been met. There were 65 occasions in 2024-25 when the first fire engine failed to meet the target attendance time. This compares with 41 occasions the previous year. Councillor Richard Roberts, Conservative Kings Langley, referred to the failed target during the meeting and said, "Do you want to put that into context?" John Bolter, Hertfordshire County Council's Head of Finance and Governance, said, "Yes, we've fallen short of 65 occasions in attendance of the first pump. For context, if they're 3 seconds later than target, it's a fail. In many of the examples of those 65 occasions, it will be a question of seconds rather than minutes." Bolter added, "I don't think we're very happy that we're falling below target, and we're working very hard in respect to our crewing arrangements to make sure we have got appliances available. In terms of fire cover, we are confident our stations are located in the right place, and we will continue to invest in them and make sure they're stations which will accommodate all our firefighters." The report follows an inspection by the watchdog, His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services, HMICRFS, last year, which rated the service inadequate in the category of preventing fires. A follow-up visit by HMICFRS in October removed one of the 5 recommendations requiring further action, but left the other 4 in place.
And now, what's on? Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead. December the 21st to the 24th, the theatre. Rosie Robin and the Christmas Post. Welcome to the post office. It's the busiest time of the year. The letters and parcels are piling up high, and Rosie Robin is working hard delivering the Christmas post. But when a snowstorm sweeps through clover leaf wood, the animals must come together to make sure all the mail arrives on time. Blending puppetry, physical performance and song, this gentle, magical, heartwarming show tells the story of one tiny robin determined that no one is forgotten this Christmas. Their morning and afternoon performances, their tickets are priced from £8 and the age guidance is 2 to 7. Watford Palace Theatre, December the 21st to the 28th. This is interactive. Werewolf Party at the Palace Christmas Special. Join us for a thrilling evening of bluff, betrayal and bravery in this immersive theatrical experience, perfect for anyone who likes a little mystery. Be transported back to the tiny hamlet of Watford as it is beset by monstrous enemies hidden in its midst. Werewolf is a game of social deduction where each player takes on the role of a resident of the ill-fated hamlet. Some are innocent villagers, others are werewolves. Evening performance, tickets at £15 and ages 12 and over. December the 21st to the 28th, pantomime, Jack and the Beanstalk. Ready the beanpoles and brace for magic. Jack and the Beanstalk is climbing back onto Watford Palace Theatre stage, bursting with songs you know and love, a grow bag packed with plant-based humour, and the best cow this side of the gap. This year's Palace Panto promises a gardener's world of wonder, amazement, and full-blown festive mischief, featuring the booming voice of national treasure, Stephen Fry as the blustering giant. Afternoon performances, tickets from £13.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Avatar, Fire and Ash, Action, Certificate 12A, Zootropolis 2, Animation, PG, Wicked for Good, Fantasy, PG, The SpongeBob Movie, Search for SquarePants, Animation, PG. The Housemaid, Drama, 15. Five Nights at Freddy's, 2. Horror, 15. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Drama, 12A. Vacuum Hall, Comedy, 15. The Muppet Christmas Carol, Comedy, U. The Nightmare Before Christmas, Animation, PG. The Polar Express, Animation, U. And films at the Rex Berkhamsted this week: Zootropolis 2, Animation, PG. Christmas Karma, Adventure, PG. Blue Moon, Drama, 15. All popular films are provided to cinema with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And more events in the coming week. Saturday the 20th of December, Riverside Local Artisan Market, Riverside Shopping Centre, Hemel Hempstead, 10 to 4pm. www.riversidehemel.com/events for further information. Sunday the 21st of December, Berkhamsted Farmers Market, High Street, Berkhamsted, 10 to 2pm. www.facebook.com/BerkhoFM. Sunday the 21st of December, Berkhamsted Pop-Up Bazaar, the Town Hall, Berkhamsted, 10 o'clock to 3pm, popupbazaarcreatives.com. Sunday the 21st of December, Harpenden Christmas Farmers Market, 10 to 2pm, Lower High Street, Harpenden, www.harpenden.gov.uk. Tuesday the 23rd of December, Bach's Magnificat, St. Peter's Church, Berkhamsted, 7:30pm, www.chilternchamberchoir.com. Wednesday the 24th of December, Carol Singing, Forge Car Park, Tring, 6:30 to 7:30pm, www.tringlions.org.uk. Festive events at King's Langley Baptist Church, Sunday the 21st of December, 10:30am morning service. Sunday the 21st of December at 5pm, carols by candlelight, all age event followed by refreshments. Wednesday the 24th of December, 11:30pm, short Christmas Eve communion service. Thursday the 25th of December, 10:30am, Christmas Day family service, suitable for the whole family. Please bring a Christmas present to show others, especially the children.
King's Langley children will have the opportunity to meet Mr. or Mrs. Claus on December the 21st during the annual Santa sleigh ride organised by Hemel Rotary. The meet and greet will kick off on a mini static event at the Ovaltine from 5 to 5:30 and then set off around the streets of the village. Residents will be able to nab photo opportunities with Santa in various stops along the route, and since its launch 10 years ago, the annual ride has raised more than £130,000 for local charities and other organisations. King's Langley Carols in the Village Garden is taking place on December the 20th at 4:30 and will include accompaniment from a local brass band. The annual event is being organised this year by Christian Aid, who invite everyone to come along and sing traditional carols and enjoy a reminder of the Christmas story.
And now for some sports news. The Tudors' goal drought. Lee Allison says his Hemel Hempstead Town side needs to start hitting the back of the net more often if they are to rediscover their winning form. Last weekend saw the Tudors beaten 2-0 at home by Horsham to exit the FA Trophy. That being the third game in the last four where Hemel have failed to score as the visitors registered twice late on. and Allinson told the club's media after Saturday's loss that it's a simple factor that needs to be remedied. He said goals win football matches. It's as simple as that. It isn't good enough. I'm really pleased with the reaction of the players from last week, and I thought we started the game better, then controlled the majority of the second half in terms of areas of the pitch. We've created a good number of half chances and have got into areas of the pitch where we have to deliver the ball across the face of goal. We're always susceptible to chances at the other end, and whether it's a foul or not, which led to Horsham's first goal, we need to do better. The lads scored it, and then you're open at the end there. And fair play to them. I think we probably dominated in terms of crosses, shots on target, off target, and we don't put the ball in the net. And you can win every game on stats, but that doesn't win you football matches. Goals do. At the moment, it seems like it's really hard to come by. I did feel like at the beginning we saw glimpses of the team we were before we hit this spell. Hemel now hosts Maidenhead United on Saturday, with Allinson keen to see his side get back to winning ways. He added, "It's really important to stay positive and remember we're still in a great position. We need to maybe freshen it up a little bit as we're not scoring any goals, but the rest of the play is really good and we are defending well. So there'll be a lot of work on finishing this week, but you've got to be able to do it in the 90-minute game."
Town Hall refit. The Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead has secured £19,500 in funding to help improve the building's energy efficiency. The grant has been awarded through the Theatres Trust's Theatre Improvement Scheme in partnership with the Wolfson Foundation. The funding will be used to install loft insulation in the Grade 2 listed building, which dates back to 1852. The work will help reduce carbon emissions by an estimated 5.7 tonnes each year and save around £3,000 in energy costs annually. Any savings will be reinvested into arts activities and community projects at the venue, Decorum Borough Council said. Stuart Fairthorne, theatre manager, said, "Caring for a Grade 2 listed Victorian building presents specific challenges, particularly around improving energy efficiency. This grant enables us to make a significant step forward in reducing our environmental impact. Work on site is expected to begin next summer."
Bids for County Hall. Hertfordshire County Council has received a number of bids for the sale of the County Hall site in Hertford, which are now being reviewed. It said a brochure showcasing the flagship site was published in October, with potential purchasers given until December the 4th to lodge a bid. The council said that several were received. A spokesperson said there will now be a process to review the submissions, undertake due diligence and seek clarifications where necessary from interested parties. This will be required before it will be possible to identify the preferred bidder to take the site forward. As well as the Grade 2 listed County Hall building, the 25-acre Pegg's Lane site includes modern office blocks and a multi-storey car park. According to the sales brochure published by agent Savills, there is the opportunity to develop a large mixed-use scheme subject to planning. Until 2023, when most council employees moved to the authority's Stevenage campus, the site was used by thousands of staff daily. Since then, it has been mostly vacated, with attempts to find a tenant or buyer to take over the new office buildings for employment use unsuccessful. The council had initially intended to retain the front part of the County Hall building, which includes the council chamber, for democratic purposes. But earlier this year, the decision was taken to move those functions from Hertford. The first meeting of the full council in its new council chamber in Stevenage was held on December the 9th.
County Council owed £100 million. The increasing debt owed to Hertfordshire County Council has been put under the spotlight by councillors. At the beginning of the 2025-26 financial year in April, data shows that the council has owed £75.4 million in outstanding debts. But by the end of September, that level had increased by £24.7 million to £100.1 million. And of that £100.1 million, almost half, around £47 million, was reported to be a debt over 92 days. The debt levels were highlighted at the latest meeting of the Council's Resources and Performance Cabinet Panel as part of a review of the budget over the past 6 months. Councillors put the greatest focus on the NHS, for which the Council provides some services. According to the data presented to councillors at the start of the financial year, the NHS owed the council £13.2 million. Since then, the council has invoiced for £199.1 million and collected £176.1 million. A total of £36.2 million is outstanding as of September, although at least £22.4 million of that was not yet due for payment. Following the meeting, a spokesman for the Hearts and West Sussex ICB stressed that at the end of September, 99% of ICB invoices had been paid within 30 days.
Repair Cafe launch. Hemel's first repair cafe has opened at Grove Hill Community Centre. Local residents can bring along their small electrical items, phones, laptops, wooden furniture, bicycles, and even typewriters to be repaired. On the first day, local people had their favourite tops, lamps, and radios brought back to tip-top condition. Hayley was so pleased to see her cherished top with two new seams and sequins back in place that she gave a generous donation. Margaret was thrilled to get her typewriter back up and running with the carriage no longer catching. Two mobile phones which had problems with sound and displays were repaired, and a laptop with a battery bracket rattling around inside was fixed. It could have caused overheating and sparks inside, so was caught just in time. Everyone gave a donation. They were happy to help with the running of the costs of the repair cafe. Grove Hill Repair Cafe is a community initiative from Community Action Decorum, and local volunteers eager to bring back a culture of repair that has all but disappeared in a throwaway world. Come along on the first Saturday of the month to Grove Hill Community Centre to meet the team. Have a coffee and a snack in the cafe and get your fix.
Trampoline star. It's up, up and away for teenage Kings Langley trampolinist Alex Manton, who has catapulted to a series of spectacular triumphs this year. Last December, Alex was one of only three boys in the country to be selected for the England squad in the 15 to 16 age group, placing him as one of the top seven trampolinists of his age in the country. This April, he struck gold at the British National Qualification event and took fourth in the individual category for his age range. Summer saw more high-flying success with another gold in the junior mixed synchro at the English National Qualification event and a team gold for England at the Scalabus Club in Portugal. In the autumn, Alex jumped up a gear, earning a silver in the individual at the National League Finals and a personal best Lul Cup in Portugal. Balancing 13 hours of training a week with GCSE exams, Alex has shown true dedication. A spokesperson said, "Overall, he has had a really good year. The fact that he was training and competing during his GCSEs is testament to his determination and strength of character."
Railway upgrade. Rail passengers have been given notice of a major programme of improvements on the West Coast Main Line over the festive period, National Rail said. The upgrades will take place near Milton Keynes over Christmas and New Year, with the aim of making journeys smoother and more reliable for years to come. Journeys to and from London Euston will be affected from the afternoon of the 24th of December until the morning of the 5th of January, while engineers work around the clock on a £26 million upgrade at Hanslop Junction. This is a vital section of railway located 56 miles north of London Euston and 7 miles from Milton Keynes that carries over 3,300 passenger and freight services per week.
And finally, Ricky's canine tribute. A statue has been erected in Hemel Hempstead celebrating the dog who roams through the town with a superstar comedian. Ricky Gervais attended the unveiling ceremony in Hemel Hempstead in memory of the German shepherd who played his loyal dog in his critically acclaimed Netflix series Afterlife. Vizsla Antilli, known as Anti, died this year, and the gathering to celebrate her life took place in St Mary's Close last Friday. It's an idea that Netflix had to pay tribute to their animal stars, and I think Anti might be the best animal star of all time, Gervais said. So you can still all come along and touch her cold nose for luck. She really is beautiful, and come and say, hello, good girl, still a good girl. Anti played Brandy, who could often be seen strolling around the old town in the company of Gervais journalist Tony Johnson, who relied heavily on the animal to find the good in life again after the passing of his wife. Next to the Anti statue, Netflix and national mental health charity Calm also erected a bench to raise an awareness of issues around suicide. All three series of Afterlife featured Hemel's old town, including the office of the Tambury Gazette, where Gervais's character worked at 48 High Street. Several businesses operating in the area were featured in the show. Decorum Borough Council leader Councillor Sally Symington said, I'm delighted that Netflix has chosen Hemel Old Town as the home for Anti's statue, which sits beautifully in St Mary's Close beside the Afterlife bench. The Old Town featured in many scenes and continues to draw film productions thanks to its fantastic location, historic buildings and nearby attractions.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 8:05 in the morning and 15:53. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill, followed by, play Decorum Talking Newspaper. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and service information follows after the final music. Please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and David, your technician for this week.